This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Fantastic.
Well, here we are trying to get into spring.
Yes, we're there because tonight we change our clocks. We spring forward an hour, and so that's a good sign that spring is pretty much here.
Well, it is getting very close. Yeah. I think the 20th is spring.
Really?
Yes. 20th of March, I believe, is spring.
Wow, I didn't realize it was like on the calendar that quick.
I believe it is. And then, of course, with daylight savings time, everybody will already be getting up earlier.
Yep.
They can stay out later.
Yep.
You know, 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And it won't be dark till 8, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And baseball will love it. Everybody will love it.
Oh, yeah. We're getting into baseball season and everything.
We are. And the flowers are coming out, let me tell you.
Yes, I've seen, I think it was dogwood trees. I was driving around this week and I saw them. I said, oh my goodness, I didn't realize the trees were already out.
Well, yes, and I don't know if you know about the Dallas Arborarium in Dallas.
No.
It's a famous place, and they have over 1 million visitors a year. Over 100,000 children go there. They have every bloom in the world. They have, I believe, 500,000 tulips.
Really?
Yes. They have azaleas right now that are blooming. The tulips are blooming. You can take tours. They also will have the cherry blossoms. They do all kinds of things there. It's a famous place.
And where is this?
In Dallas at the Arboretum. It's really? In Old East Dallas. They also have the DeGoyer Mansion there. Then you can take a tour of the mansion. But they have things all day long.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. There's things for kids. There's things for adults. You can go online and look at the flowers. They're gorgeous.
I'd love to take a trip over there. It sounds fascinating.
Oh, the flowers are so beautiful. It's just hard to describe.
Wow.
And the tulips are out. The azaleas are out. The cherry blossoms.
Oh, spring is here. Birds are singing. Easter's right around the corner.
That's right. Yeah. And spring is a wonderful time of year.
It really is. All that, the clouds and the cooler up and down temperatures go away, and then things just come back to life, and it's almost like a rebirth of life.
That's right. Well, and you know, we're thankful that in this area we can grow all this.
Yeah, yeah.
Had you thought about that? You know, there's trees in Dallas. There's lots of water. It's very green in Dallas.
Yeah.
Everybody will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, big difference between East Texas and West Texas.
That's right. And in Dallas, they do have lots of water, and they have lots of sprinkler systems, too. So
yeah.
There is a difference. And they have so many tours there at the Arboretum for families, for children. They have special days for children there. It's a great teaching tool.
Wow.
It really is.
We'll have to get over there.
Yes, and everybody should go over there and see all this. You know, different times of the year, every city in Texas has something special going on.
Yeah.
If you get the Co-op magazine or D magazine, they tell you the different places things are happening.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you plan like little day trips or weekend trips around. Wow.
Yes, every place has something going on during the summer and the spring.
I'll have to get me a copy of that.
Yes, where families can go, like you say, you can go and see so many things.
Yeah.
Some places have rodeos. Some of them have, like the Black Eyed Pea Festival that's in East Texas.
Mm.
There's all kinds of festivals all over Texas during the year.
Wow, that's great.
I think so, too.
And the state is so big, you know, there's all kinds of a huge variety.
That's right. It is so big. And then, you know, you've got tours of Paldura Canyon, which is the most fabulous place there is.
Yeah.
You know, you can backpack there. You can camp out at Paldura Canyon. It's a huge, wonderful, majestic place in Texas.
Really?
Yes.
See, you're full of all kinds of information. You should be a travel agent.
There you go. I do know a lot about Texas.
You really do. All right. Let's give out that phone number.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And, of course, the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies. You can find data from past investments, see what everybody's made. You can also read about testimonials. And you had a really big week this week, from what I understand.
I did. I had a lot of people in, learned a lot from them. And, you know, it was just very interesting. And of course, I think my life is pretty interesting anyway.
Yes. You're full of information, full of journeys, full of stories. You're very fascinating.
Well, anyway, a lot was happening this week. And I had one gentleman in that is retiring. He's a pilot. He was very interesting. He flies big jets. He flies small jets. And then, you know, prop planes.
Uh-huh.
And he'd been with this company for 14 years. He's their head pilot.
14 years and he's already retiring.
He's already retiring. And he's moving to North Carolina because his grandchildren are, you know, over there.
Uh-huh.
But he's still going to fly. He's going to do charter work for people. But what I found interesting was the fact that this company had 9 pilots.
Really?
Yes.
And he was the top one.
He's the top pilot. He trains other pilots. He's their head man. And I wouldn't even thought of, you know, a company around here that does all this.
Yeah, I had no idea.
The company's actually quartered in Artesia, and he said when Dearborn, that's the name of the company, when they started and the people got married, they lived in a tent when they started. That's how long ago they started that company.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
What
no.
would you do if somebody said, now we're going to get married, but we're going to have to live in a tent for a while?
I think I'd be a little nervous.
I'd be a little scared right there and go, yeah. This may not work out too well.
We might need to rethink this.
Yeah, I might have to think about it for a while.
Wow.
But anyway, I was very impressed. I think anybody that can fly this many different planes is probably a pretty good pilot.
Yeah, because they all fly differently.
Absolutely. And you have to have different certifications for different ones. And some of them you have to have 2 pilots, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And some of them you can do it with 1.
Yeah.
But and I said, well, do y'all fly all over the United States? He said, we fly to Miami. We fly to South America for people. He said, we go to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
They fly everywhere.
And he's going to retire from officially working, but he's still going to be doing some things on the side.
Yes, yes. And he said that he could do just as well doing charter flights over there for different companies.
Uh-huh.
You know, they need somebody to do that. And a lot of times, I know that a lot of companies rent out their planes for charters. If
yeah.
they're not using them, they rent them out to other people.
Yeah.
And that gets them some money coming in.
Sure.
Because, you know, planes are expensive to operate.
Yes. Yeah, just the jet fuel alone. Is through the roof.
I believe the jet fuel between here and Miami, he said, was $1,200.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's on the small jet.
Oh, my.
So I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
And then we had other people in this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked, you're always asking me, what do people ask?
Yeah.
Well, I was asked by this lady, how safe is this investment?
Sure.
I said, well, I feel like it's very safe. I said, unless a bank goes under. Mm-hmm. She said, well, what about a war? I go,
war.
I wasn't anticipating a war in the United States. I just wasn't anticipating that. And I said, well, if it's a war, it'll be nuclear, and you won't have to worry about it.
This whole conversation is moot.
That's right. This conversation doesn't matter. It'll be so fast that it wouldn't even... wouldn't even be worth talking about.
Yeah, you won't even have time to gather your belongings.
No, you wouldn't.
Wow. So yeah, I guess people do. I mean, investing in life insurance policies is very different than investing in, you know, the typical stock market and things like that. So I'm sure people do have a lot of questions. I would I could see people asking things like that. Well, what are some of the weirdest questions have you ever had?
Well,
or is that the weirdest?
That would probably be the most unusual. As I would say, unusual.
Uh-huh.
Well, they do ask all kinds of questions. They don't usually ask if, I think I've had one ask, well, what if we got a divorce?
Uh-huh.
You know, how would it be worked? And I said, well, it's going to be work just like you signed the contract.
Yeah.
You know, you said the wife is going to get it. You would have to take her off of your policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And almost everybody does have their wife on there as their beneficiary. We're required to have a beneficiary on everything you do.
Okay.
You can't do this without a beneficiary. And then some people, if they're not married, you know, they're going to leave it to a sister or brother. Or some member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just another thing they have to do.
Sure. But, well, we're also talking about a lot of money, too. So
you are talking about a lot of money. Our clients all have quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come to us, it's usually an old 401k or they're getting ready to retire. Now, like that gentleman this week, he's rolling over his retirement with his current company.
Okay.
He wants that done before he retires.
Sure.
So we did all the paperwork, got all that going for him. Because he wants that done before the end of March.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll still maintain a place here, but they'll also have a place in North Carolina.
Wow, that's great.
So, you know, he can do work here if he needs to and do work over there also.
How long has this gentleman been with you, been investing in?
No, he's brand new with
us. Oh, he's brand new.
He's brand new.
Oh, wow.
He is bringing his 401k over.
Gotcha. Okay.
That he was going to use to retire on.
Uh-huh.
You know, and a lot of people, when they're talking to me, they don't realize that a 401k, when it comes to us, is an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't understand exactly what it's going to be called because they'll say, I need to establish an IRA. It will be an IRA. It's automatic.
Yeah.
So when you do this, it does become an IRA.
Do you have people that come in that really don't, they've had, say, a 401k, but they don't really know what it means, or it's just kind of like been there forever. They haven't really paid much attention to it. And now they're thinking about retirement, and they don't really know where to go with it. Do you have people come in and say, what is all this stuff?
Well, when they come over, they usually have met somebody that has money with us.
Mm-hmm.
These people this week did. You know, he had someone that he had met that was an investor of ours, had been for 2 or 3 years. That's why he wanted to come over and do it. So he knew a little bit how it worked, but we went over it again to be sure he really understood because my clients could accidentally tell him wrong.
Sure, yeah.
So we went over how it's going to work, how long the money's tied up, that it is not liquid, you know, when you do it, until the policy matures.
Mm-hmm.
So we understood all that. And he said, I don't need the money forever.
Really?
He's retired Army.
Oh, wow.
And he also has Social Security. In addition to, you know, flying, all this other money was coming to him all this time.
So he's not in a hurry. He's just, hey, I've got, you know, all this, and let's just do something with it. And he heard great things. And that's how you get a lot of your new clients in, is from other people telling about their experience.
Yes, it's mostly all referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody refers because they're happy. And so they want somebody else, you know, to make the money they're making. And I had someone this week tell me that in the mutual fund that they've got, that they're making a little over 2%.
Really?
And I looked at their statements, and I'm shocked. I said, you mean you've been putting up with it all this time with, you know, a little over 2%?
Yeah.
And they said, well, whatever you pay, it'll be more than we're making.
Yeah. Well,
and I told them, I said, well, it's about 1% a month.
Yeah.
You know, about 12%. And I was just shocked. But lots of times they will invest in, well, like the Lutherans, mm-hmm. have their own investment vehicle. But it doesn't make any money.
Yeah.
You know, it's called Trivent. But it doesn't make money.
Really?
I think because they're not used to really being in the investment business. And I don't know what year they decided to do that. But, you know, they became investors for people. But it doesn't seem like it works very good.
And do people realize that and they kind of scratch their head for a little while? And,
well, you know,
it's time to do something.
They've kept it quite a while. This lady, when I looked at hers this week, she'd had it for 5 or 6 years.
Really?
Not making any money. I think it made $135 a year.
Oh, wow.
And that's not anything.
No.
On like $60,000.
Yeah.
So she wasn't making anything. But I think people just procrastinate.
Yeah.
They've already got it there, and they don't know how to move it, and they don't know what to do, so they just leave it.
So when you have somebody come in such a situation like this, you know, this lady that's made like $135 a year, what are some of the things that they come into this? They say, okay, I've got this thing. I'm not really making any money. What do we do?
They say, what can you do for me? Okay. That's their exact words. So then I explain the different investments, you know, that we can do an annuity.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can do the life settlement if they qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she had a husband, so, you know, the husband qualified.
And he came in with her?
Yes, he did. Right. So he put his money with me, then she put hers with me.
Okay, and this is the first time you've talked to them?
Yes.
And they were pretty much, it sounds like, ready to go right off the bat.
Yes, they had been listening to us for a long time. They'd been listening to our ads for several years. And then they knew somebody.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were prepared.
Yeah.
And, of course, hers was, as I said, not making anything.
Yeah.
You know? And his was already in cash.
Mm-hmm.
He'd already gotten out of the stock market, and it was just sitting there in cash.
Yeah. So he was ready to go right then. He'd been sick of the stock market for a long time.
Apparently he had, because he'd already taken it out and put it in cash.
Great.
So he wasn't doing anything else. So anyway, and then they want to know, how do I open an account with you?
Great question.
That's right. And they go, can I do it today? I'm prepared. And I go, well, okay. Because I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
No, we don't usually do it that way.
Do most people come in and you know, talk for a little while, maybe talking again, and then sometime down the road?
Yeah, start... 30 days or 2 weeks,
uh-huh.
They come back and we do something.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd had one gentleman that talked to me in December, and he just came in the other day, and he said, well, his wife fell and broke her hip, and that's why he didn't come back.
Okay.
He was taking care of her.
Sure.
So it was 2 months before he could come back.
Yeah. So, and that happens. I mean, and it sounds like whichever approach people are most comfortable with, if they're ready to go right now, great. If you're not, you know, come in, we'll talk, bring back your spouse, we'll talk again, we'll talk some more. You'll talk as many times as you need to, because you're not going to move forward until they completely understand
it. That's right. And if they don't understand it, we want them to go home and think about it some more and try to understand what I've told them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's too much information in one time.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I can understand that.
Oh, yeah. I know when we first started talking, I didn't understand anything. And I asked a lot of very strange questions that I'm sure, I don't know, maybe you've heard them before, maybe not. But, you know, to completely understand it, it took several conversations just for me to grasp the concept.
Well, and you can imagine the man on the street, as I call them, you know, when they come in. You know, it's first time they've talked to anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have to have a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
So it may take two or three times for them to fully understand that it is a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
That these people are terminally ill. They have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get that in their head, then they start talking to me about it. It's amazing. And then they start trying to explain it to their wife once they get it in their head.
Uh-huh.
And so they go home and talk to her. Then they bring her back, and then she listens to me.
Yeah, and then corrects whatever misinformation.
That's right. We want to be sure she really understands the program.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they don't.
Well, when you first start talking to people, there's a process that you go to before you even sit down, I think, if I understand this right, where you'll make sure that, first of all, they qualify, because you don't want to sit down and have this conversation, and then all of a sudden you ask a few questions, and, well, it's not right for them anyway.
That's right. And that's why when they call in, you know, the people at my office are instructed. Here is a list of things we have to know. And we have to know approximate what is your net worth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Approximate what are you making per year. Okay. So we need to know all that.
Yeah.
And before I ever talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you say, if they're not qualified, there's no use me talking to them.
Right. You don't want to waste, you know, their time if it's not something that's going to be a good fit.
That's right.
And so you save them some time and energy.
That's right. And, you know, if they don't, we want to let them down gently.
Right.
You know, I had a lady one time say, you just don't want us. You just want the rich people. And that's not it at all. But I want to be sure you're qualified and that you're not going to need this money in 6 months. It's usually 6 months those people will need the money.
Really? And that's really the magic?
It is. In other words, they had no business doing this because they don't have the money.
Right. And you do this for their own protection. Really.
Absolutely. We don't want them to need the money and not be able to get to it.
Exactly. If they whatever they would normally want to invest, if they're going to need that down the road, if you can see all their situation and see what's where, and you project, okay, in 6 months you're probably going to need this money because you're going to run it a little short over here, running a little short over there. I realize this is the simple version. You don't want them to get stuck because when they invest in these life insurance policies, it's not liquid. They can't get it.
No, it's not liquid until the people pass away.
Yeah.
And I always go over that 4 or 5 times with them. Remember, this is tied up for 18 months or 24 months. If you think you're going to need the money in the meantime, don't do it.
Yeah.
Now then, if you're getting ready to retire, it's a whole different deal because we're going to take maybe $100,000 and leave it in your account.
Yeah.
Whereas you'll have something the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And like one of my people this week said, I'm not going to need it. For 5 to 10 years, I have other monies I can use.
That's great.
Well, that means we can do 24 months, 30 months, and never worry about it.
Yeah, because you don't want them to need the funds, and then they can't access it. So you make sure that they have plenty of day-to-day living money, as we call it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find out what people have been investing and what they've really been making over the last year or so. Or is it more? Does it go back farther than that?
Well, I think there's so much data. I think now it just shows 1 year.
Okay.
I know it used to show 2 years.
Yeah.
But I know I printed out a printout this week and it was just one.
Okay. And I know you have tons of clients, and so there's an awful lot of data. And I know you're kind of restricted by...
Then, of course, since the first of the year, we've had 6 policies mature. And I think we had another one this week. I think it was a small one. I think it was just $400,000, but we had another mature.
Sure. That's
so we're having lots of maturities right now.
Yeah, and it's early because you don't usually run into these until, 3, 4, 5 months into the year?
Yeah, usually it's several months before we start getting all these policies maturing.
Yeah, and here we are into March already, and you've already had 6 mature.
That's exactly right.
That's fascinating. So I know that this, things have gotten off to a really early start. So, and with the economy the way it is, and things really turning around, and I see rigs going up all over the place.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, there's all these really great things. And so this is really the time, especially if you're tired of the stock market, this is really the time to start thinking about growing your money in a safe way.
That's right. And there'll be a lot of people getting ready to retire. Mm-hmm. And, we'd like for them to bring their money over and let's invest that. And then a lot of people have old 401ks because during this last 2 years, they've changed jobs.
Yeah.
So they've got the old 401k and a new 401k. And lots of times they have not moved it from the old company. We find people that haven't moved it in 10 years.
Yeah.
And they suddenly say, oh, no, I've got that other 401k.
That they forgot about.
Yeah. I had a friend that had one that had been at another company for 20 years.
Really?
He used to work for Nabisco.
Oh, wow.
And he forgot all about it. So it's been over there all these years.
Wow, surprise.
Yeah, and lots of times that happens. They forget it's there.
And you can take care of that.
That's right, because we'll just roll it on over.
Mm-hmm.
And a rollover is easy to do.
So when people come in and want to invest in life insurance policies for the first time, and they sit down, and do they ask things like, okay, where did this policy come from? How did you get it?
How do we get the policy? Yeah. Yes, and we always tell them. We employ some providers. That's what they're called, licensed providers, and they bring us the policies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when we get the policies, we ask them, what are the facts on it? Give us the life expectancies, and those come from life expectancy companies.
Mm-hmm.
So then we know, how sick they are. What a lot of our clients don't realize, when they read that life expectancy, it's from an oncologist.
A trained professional.
Yes. The doctor knows what he's talking about.
Not just a guy who flipped a coin.
Yeah, I mean, it's not from some company that just made up their mind about it. It's from a licensed doctor.
Yeah. So you really know, you really understand the condition of the policyholder. How do, and I'm pretty sure this is probably one of the questions you get, I'm guessing anyway. They wonder how they ended up, nobody went in and took the policy away from them.
No.
They're terminal and they need to sell their policy.
What they did, they contacted their insurance agent.
Yeah.
And he arranged it.
Mm-hmm.
Their insurance agents. And they get paid for that. And that's what makes the costs go up, is they're having to pay this insurance agent.
Yeah.
A brokerage fee.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they come to us, you know, they've got their broker. And we have to go through the broker then when we're asking them to sign their contracts. We've been waiting on about $10 million in contracts to get signed for 30 days.
Really?
And so I got on the phone and called our providers this week and said, okay, tell me about this. Tell me about this one. And by golly, you know, we found out. You know, we've got the contracts out, but they haven't come back.
Okay.
And I'm telling them, you better get them on the stick.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to wait. And then this lady that has breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
It's a little bitty policy, $100,000. We've been waiting on the contract. I call about her. Well, she's in Mexico getting treatments.
Oh, that's oh, yeah. One of the big signs for you.
It's a big sign. We need it immediately because we know she ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
They said she'll be back on the 15th to sign her contract.
Uh-huh.
She'll be through with her treatment in Mexico.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. She will die quickly.
Yeah.
When people will not do what the doctor asks them to do on cancer, you have to do chemo, you've got to do radiation sometimes, all kinds of treatment. And, you know, they don't want their body messed up and they won't allow surgery.
Sure. I can understand that. I see both sides of the coin there.
Well, is your life more important than part of your body?
Exactly.
And the way you look.
Yeah, and I guess it's a personal
decision. It's a personal choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had several already this year that have matured.
Yeah.
We've had two. And both of them had went for the alternate treatment.
Uh-huh.
And you just can't do it.
And there's a difference between alternate treatment and experimental.
Yes.
I assume.
Oh, and all of them do experimental, and I don't blame them for that.
Yeah.
They'll go to clinical trials to try to save them. It will extend their life maybe 9 months.
The experimental, those are the ones where, the doctors and researchers will think they have something that might be a breakthrough, and so they'll try it. Very, very different than, you know, eating a lot of broccoli.
Oh, no, clinical trials are good because the medicine might prove to cure you.
Mm-hmm.
It might delay your death. Most of the time, the ones we've had, they've not saved them, but they delayed it.
Yeah.
Maybe 9 or 10 months.
Well, that's pretty significant.
It is. But they usually don't work. They're not ready yet. There's something that's just not quite right about the medication.
Yeah. They're getting there, but they're not quite.
They're not quite there on that particular one.
So what do you do when you see a policy come across your desk that's experimental? Do you say, maybe, you know, come back to us in a year? Or?
Yeah, lots of times we won't buy it if they're in clinical trials.
Okay.
Because it is going to delay their death.
Right.
It may delay it a year. Might even be two.
Yeah.
But usually when they get through the clinical trials, it goes right back to where it was.
Okay.
Yeah. But it might even put them in remission.
Yeah.
And we do not want one that's in remission.
No. And you've looked at enough of these policies over the last several years that you've really kind of, I guess, trial and error. You've gone through and you've seen what to avoid and things that make you, oh, my gosh, we want to bid on this right now.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them that when I get them, I say, this is a great policy. It's going to be quick. I certainly want to bid on it. Now, mm-hmm. We know that lots of times the hedge funds outbid us.
Yeah.
They outbid us on one last week that I thought we were going to get.
Did they really?
But we've got so many good ones that we're waiting on contracts. It'll be all right.
How many, just roughly, I know you don't have paperwork in front of you, but roughly how many bids do you have out there right now?
Oh, bids out? Yeah. I've got about $17 million in bids out.
Wow.
And out of that, I've got contracts coming on about $6.5 million.
So when will those be ready to?
I think by the end of next week, we'll have most of them in and have them filled.
That fast?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Brown policy, we're just now filling the Brown policy. We got the contract back on it, and we were waiting on it, and it's $2.5 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Brown, they started filling it on Friday.
Okay.
So
right.
it'll be filled very quickly. $2.5 million fast.
That is, yeah, that's. So what happens to a new investor? Say I've never invested before. I come to see you, and you've got a certain number of policies, and you've got some of your longtime investors, and then you've got brand new ones. Where do we fall in the funnel as far as, you know, what can we get in? How fast can we get in? How much can we get in?
Well, and we were changing contracts on the LS, so that has taken a little bit longer for the people that were not accredited.
Okay.
We don't do very many of those, but we have a few that we do, and those have had to wait because we did not have the contract ready. I believe it'll be ready next week.
Okay.
So we will be doing it.
All right.
But the others are ready just as soon as, you know, the contracts come in. We're going to do theirs.
Perfect.
And usually we're doing both of them simultaneous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, usually we're doing accredited and non-accredited at the same time.
There's a lot of things happening at the same time.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every morning or every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring in the most fascinating knowledge, whether it's travel-based or music-based or financial or whatever it is, a wide variety of topics. What are we talking about today?
Well, there's a company here in Texas that started out in the harness for horses and automobiles.
Really?
And it's the Dickey Company. Do you know who the Dickey Company is?
I want to say yes, but I'm going to go with no.
Okay, the Dickey Company started out in Bryan, Texas.
Really?
Early 1800s.
Really? That long ago?
Yeah, in harnesses and cars in the 1800s, okay?
Wow.
And then they started in bib overalls.
Really?
Bib overalls. Can you imagine? The farmers were doing it. People that worked outside because they needed something that was heavy.
Uh-huh.
The material had to be heavy enough to withstand, you know, all the different types of labor that there are.
Yeah.
And I remember when they the story about the first ones they made, you know, they made them out of material that just really wasn't sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go back and find material that would hold up.
Something that was durable against, you know, the conditions.
It had to really be durable. And so, as I said, they started out in the 1800s doing this and had to use different kinds of cloth until they got, you know, one that was really heavy enough for people, miners, different people like that.
Yeah.
Even though it was right here in Texas. And so then these three guys, it was 1922, Don Williamson, his father, and a cousin, they bought 100% of the overall company. And a few friends had established it.
Mm.
And so these three brought out all the friends and said, look, we want to take over the overall company. We want to make them. So they named it Williamson Dickey Manufacturing. Well, of course, the company started making overalls, and that was good. Well, then the Great Depression came.
Uh-huh.
And they made it through it. And then World War II, they furnished millions of uniforms for our soldiers.
Did they really?
The Dickey Company did all that.
I did not know that they were
yes.
furnishing uniforms.
So then after the war, they converted back to a civilian company to produce all these things. So then they said, okay, why don't we expand? And these old boys were so brilliant.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we'll get warehouses. And then they said, let's set up some sales territories throughout the United States.
Uh-huh.
This is in the 50s.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have thought that these guys would have been smart enough to say, you know, if these overalls work here, they'll work anywhere.
Yeah.
And so they expanded. And then they said, why don't we make Levi's and jeans?
Uh-huh.
And that's what really made them because they started making jeans and Levi's. And then they said, let's expand into Europe.
Really?
These people are It's really brilliant. So they went into the Middle East. They went into Europe. And the Texas oil men are the ones that introduced the Dickies to the eastern oil fields.
Really?
Oil men from Texas. They said, these things are strong. They won't wear out. You can wash them a million times.
Oh, yeah.
And we've really got something.
They really are a durable material. They're really well made.
They are. And now they're international. They're everywhere in the world. And these three old guys started this out of a harness company.
How cool is that?
So can you imagine a bib overhaul company that's grown to be the biggest in the world?
That's amazing. I love Dickies, especially if I'm going to get out and, you know, start, you know, working and
doing anything outside.
Exactly.
The old jeans are so tough.
Yeah.
And of course now they make shirts and they make women's pants now.
Oh, do they really?
They do make women's pants. Now then, their claim to fame, and I don't know if you know this, they are the one that made everything for Big Tex at our fair.
Really?
It's Dickies that does that.
I remember you talking about Big Tex.
That's right. And it takes over 100 yards, you know, to make his pants.
Wow.
And they make his pants, they make his shirt. And remember, that all has to be waterproof.
Yeah.
So the material has to be the strongest there is in the world.
Wow, I didn't realize Dickies was doing that.
And that's what really made him famous around here. In Texas, to me, is that they do big Texas pants and shirt. I think that's better than being around, but they are the biggest in the world.
Well, I mean, really, when it comes to, you know, outdoor clothing and durable, you know, work attire, they really are the industry standard.
They are, and they got it down right. And I used to have that article of where they tried all the different materials.
Uh-huh.
Till they got one that was durable enough that you could use it, whether it's in a coal mine or out here on the ranch or anywhere.
Yeah.
Because that old material is so durable.
It really is. It's great stuff. And again, another fantastically solid worldwide company was created right here in Texas.
I know. It was just three men.
Yeah.
And it doesn't talk about them having any education whatsoever from the 1800s, let me tell you.
That is so great.
But they had an idea, and they made the darn thing work.
Yeah, and then they morphed it and grew and expanded. It's such an inspiring story.
It is to me, because can you imagine in the 50s, they said, you know, we could put salesmen all out here and give them territories.
Genius.
I mean, and then they said, well, you know, if this worked during the war, why wouldn't it work in other countries?
Yeah.
And then the oil men from Texas that were drilling in other countries said, hey, give us some Dickies to wear.
Yeah.
Because they're durable and they'll outlast anything else you could put on them.
Yeah. And back in the 50s when they were doing all this expanding in the territories and the salesmen and all that, that wasn't being done.
Nobody would have thought of that. Everybody would just stay in their little old company and probably went broke.
Yeah.
But not them.
Yeah.
They just said, you know, we need to expand, and I think we can sell this product anywhere.
And I honestly did not know that the war uniforms were from Dickies.
Dickies. And that's, I think that's why they didn't have any problem with those cloth and the clothes, and it endured because it was from Dickies.
Yeah.
And I don't know who knew to call them, but somebody, you know, called them, and it could have been some of our generals and things from Texas, because remember, we had a lot of generals and admirals from Texas.
Yeah.
And they may have known of the company and said, let's try Dickies.
Yeah. That really says something for the company.
It really does. But they millions and millions of uniforms came from Dickies.
How great. And then after the war was over, they converted back to civilian.
They did. And but think about this. They lasted through the Depression, and most companies like that would have had to have laid everybody off and shut down during the Depression, because people didn't have any money to buy anything.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything.
And so I don't know how they made it, and they may have traded things out.
I wonder
if they did. Because, you know, as a young girl, the Progressive Farmer, I don't know if you remember it, it's an old farm magazine, still in business today. They have probably 18 million readers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the Progressive Farmer told farmers about the chickens when you could order them. It told them about the best fertilizer, you know, all this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And farmers took it all over the world. But my parents, they came and called on them out in the country, and they go, no, we just don't want to spend the money for that progressive farmer. And I wanted it real bad.
Yeah.
So I made a deal. I told the salesman, I said, how would you like to have some nice, fresh eggs? Oh, my gosh, he said, for fresh eggs? I said, if you'll trade me a subscription, I'll give you the eggs.
And how old were you when you did this?
Pretty young.
Wow. So one of these days, we're going to be telling the story of you when we do trivia.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway, that was hard times, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was hard times, but I did know that I could make a trade with that. And so, again, I traded the eggs and got a 4 or 5 year subscription, Progressive Farmer.
Wow. So I assume that's when the light bulb went off in your head. Hey, look at this.
That's right. I said, I can make this work.
Yeah.
So I think during the Depression, they might have done some of that. They might have done some trading.
Yeah, they may have.
Might have had to. But I'm sure the production was low during that time. But they kept the doors open.
Sure.
And these geniuses just kept going.
Yeah. That's great. Dickie's from right here in Texas.
Right here in Texas. Started in Bryan, Texas.
I love it.
These three old boys. And the other thing is they bought everybody else out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think that wasn't smart?
You start buying out your competition. You start adding to your portfolio. And it's great.
They bought everybody else out in the company. And just the three of them.
Yeah.
So that's a heck of a story.
That's great. I love it. Another Texas success story.
That's right. All right. Let's give out the phone number.
Well, let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. So if somebody's thinking about investing in life insurance policies, say they're in the stock market now, things are going up, and then you know when everything goes up, it must come down.
That's right.
So it's happening both ways. And if people are not making money and they're thinking, well, maybe this is something for me, what are some things that they should know? What are some of the, say, 3 or 4 highlights?
Well, you know, they should know it doesn't go up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the policy is on the face amount, that's what we're going to divide up.
Yeah.
It's a face amount of the policy. The other thing is we don't touch their money. That would be real important to me.
Yeah.
It goes direct to the bank. The bank pays the premium. We escrow all the premium. So that's another safety feature to have that premium escrowed. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the bank is the beneficiary, and they pay everybody.
Okay.
So, you know, that's real important.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, when people invest in the stock market, their broker can do anything they want to with it.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also, they see what happens in New York, and they think they're going to make the same amount of money. It doesn't work that way.
No.
I have people come in, they'll say, well, it shows that this stock is just going crazy, but look at my portfolio. It hadn't happened.
It's going down.
It hadn't made any money. Let's put it that way. In the up and down of the stock market, if you're younger, you can take it. When you get 50 on up, you better be thinking seriously about, you know, how much will you have to retire on? Are you going to have enough money? Will you run out? Mm-hmm. None of us wants to run out of money, let me tell you.
Oh, no. Because when you retire, the point is not to scale back. The point is to stay at the level you're at when you retire, or just before you retire, even after retirement. So you have to make sure that everything is there and in place.
Right. And as you go along, you want to say, okay, can we get the house paid off before mm-hmm. we retire? You don't want to have any debt when you retire. You want that house paid off. You want a new pickup in the driveway. I know that.
Yep.
And then you want some fun things to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you retire. It may just be taking your boat to the lake. If you don't have a boat, you may want to get one when you retire. Or, you know, you may buy a farm. You know, some of mine have bought farms mm-hmm. just to keep them busy. Just, you know, they're small farms, 150 acres.
Sure.
Just to go out there and play.
Yeah.
But you don't want to retire and not have enough money to do anything.
Right. Maybe get an RV and travel, drive all over the country.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people buy a big RV, they put the grandchildren in it, and they go places.
Yeah. They really enjoy themselves. See
they
some
do.
Sights.
And a lot of people have not seen all the United States.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something people want to do.
There's a lot to see.
There's a lot to see and do.
But you have to make sure you can retire safely.
That's right. And you want to have enough money that if you want to spend some of it, you can. Mm-hmm. But then you don't want to spend so much in 1 year that you're not going to have enough left.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people get to thinking, oh, I can spend $100,000 a year. A few can. Mm-hmm. And a few can spend $400,000 a year. But there's some of us that I would say they shouldn't be spending about $60,000 a year.
Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody listening, if not many people, who are saying, oh, gosh, you know, this all sounds great, but I'm probably starting too late. I'm not sure if I can really, if this is going to pay off. What do you say to somebody with those questions?
Well, I have some people that are older that their children invested first, their children in their 50s, you know, like 55, 56. Mm-hmm. And then after they'd been with us 2 years, they brought their parents in. And they look after them, so I don't worry about those accounts. Yeah. But if you're that old, you need someone in it with you. You need your children in it with you or someone where that we can rely on them to help you.
But it is not necessarily too late to start.
No, it's not too late as long as you've got someone helping you.
Okay.
Our people, you know, usually they come to us, the latest probably is 70.
Okay.
Yeah. But most everybody else is probably 55, 65.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Doable.
We do a lot of people 55 and 60. Mm-hmm. And some, I've got some that are retiring at 59.
Wow.
I still think it's too early. We'll see how it works out.
That is early. But boy, if that's possible, boy, wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice. But I think it's too early because I think you can do better.
Yeah.
You know?
And any chance to do better, that's what we want to do.
That's right. I don't want anyone to retire and then say, oh, I have a lot of regrets here.
Yeah, that's too late.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it then.
That's right.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. One last time, the phone number.
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. And we want people just to give us a call, make an appointment.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.